This is Robert Stark. I am joined here with Devotional Dave from Strangelove, the ultimate Depeche Mode experience.
Hello.
Dave, it's great having you on.
Great. Thank you for the invitation. It's nice to be on your show.
And I'm also joined here with my co-host, Pillator.
Hey there.
Nice. Hello.
I actually saw on YouTube you did a 102, and I really liked it. It was really good, actually. I thought it's pretty good.
Thank you very much. That was last year at the Pacific Amphitheater out in Costa Mesa, which was an amazing show. And, we got some great captures from that show.
How did you get started with Strangelove, the Depeche Mode experience?
You know, it started 7 years ago, and I was just, being in the music industry for pretty much all my life. I've been in the ins and outs, like doing the production coordinator in the back end and then being the front. So, and also released my album with my band. And just after all that experience, which was great, and I just got tired of the industry, but I still wanted to go out and perform. My band separated, and I still had the bug in me, and I was like,
What was your previous band?
It was an electronic band. It was called Desvio, and we were pretty much like the synth pop band of Latin America, including with a band called Moenia, which are very famous. They're from Mexico. And I focused on that. I was like, well, there's not a lot of electronic bands coming out from L.A. being synth, so I focused on that. Being in the industry, I targeted, and it went very well for us. And we released a single. It was called En Mis Brazos, In My Arms. And it was a great experience. But then being a performer, I got to learn how the deal is with these managers and record labels and just greedy smut, just sucking the soul out of you. And I got tired of it. So I took a break. But I was watching some tribute bands, and I watched one in Italy, and I was like, oh, these are really good. I didn't know there were tribute bands for Depeche Mode. I knew they were for like the Doors. My first experience in music was, and I'm just kind of how all this relates, is my first band watching, I was about 8 years old. I went to a park, and there was a band, and it was Kiss. But it wasn't Kiss, but I thought it was Kiss. It was a tribute band. That was my first experience of seeing someone. I didn't know until someone else told me, oh, that's not Kiss, that's someone recreating. And that's how I just kind of like, it all started for me there. Then I found a tribute band here in Los Angeles called Blasphemous Rumors. And they were the only ones that had been doing it for a while. So I went to go check them out at the Depeche Mode convention that Ray, who is the promoter of that, was having it at the Ford Theater in Hollywood. So I attended that. I brought a friend of mine. So I was kind of like, wow, there's a tribute scene going on. Everybody who loves Depeche Mode is here. So it was a great experience. And then I got to see the band. The band came out. They were pretty much wearing the 101 outfits. The lead singer had the white pants. And everybody had the look. The sound was great. But there was just one thing. And I'll be honest, the lead singer wasn't really giving it that Dave Gahn. I was just like, wow, you're representing someone who really, really, is the frontman of this band. And you're just kind of just laid back. That's not, So I was kind of like very critic about that. And then later on during the year, I got to meet Brent Meyer. And I kind of just wanted to get my feet wet, and I started my own little tribute scene. It was like my tribute band. It was like three member band. It was called Sounds of the Mode. So after during that first year, I think it was 2009, we were both kind of now headbutting of being the best. People were saying, wow, this guy's got the Dave Gahn voice. He's got the vocal, and he's got the look. So I was kind of getting my feet wet. And finally we met, and he liked my representation of Dave Gahn. He said, I'm actually going to start a new tribute band. I'm getting away from leaving this and starting something new. And I would like to start something new with you. And that was just like, wow, great. Let's start. And it's been 7 years, guys. And it's, we're, We're a great team. Brent is he's the owner of Music Zirconia. He's got an agency already built. So I came into something that was already built, ready to go, which for me was not like, oh, God, I got to. It came really fast. A year is really good. It was good for me to get into the scene and understand the scene and respect the scene, because I've never sang anyone else's music, especially Depeche Mode, and being in front of a man of Dave Gahan and feeling those shoes. So for me, it's been a great experience. Being as a performer, it's made me, it's made me a better singer. It's made me a better host, like with the audience, and it's just been a beautiful experience. And that's how we started, pretty much. Puzzles from the best tribute bands got together, and boom, there it became the ultimate tribute. I mean, it blows me away now because we've gotten so, we're all techie. I just don't sing. I do all the visual work of Depeche, of our band, all the background visuals that you see on stage. That's my work. Brent handles all the music. Plus, he does all the booking too, as well. So it's a great team that we got going, and that's why it's progressed to where it is now, where we started from 300 people to now filling 10,000 seaters. That's amazing.
You have a current ongoing tour. Is that connected with the release of Depeche Mode's new Spirit album?
What's cool about us is that we're always touring. So we like to tie in something that is going on to that, where we can also support Depeche Mode and help them promote what they're doing. Because also in our shows, we find that like a lot of Depeche Mode fans from my era, not the old generation, they don't even know that they have a new album coming out or that they're still together. It's weird because they're not listening to radio. And so it's like we're like the messengers out there. We play all the classics of the Depeche Mode, but we also update the fans. Hey, Depeche Mode's coming out, and it's great. I mean, I love doing it. Why not? It's what I like to do. And as a fan, I mean, it works both ways, for a tribute and also for the real band.
When is your tour starting? Is it? And do you have a link to like the official? What is the official schedule?
Yeah, it actually started at the tail end of December, and then it's now ongoing now to August. They can go into our website, DepecheTribute.com. It's a beautiful website, very easy. And our tour dates and news, it's updated every day, because there's always something happening in our calendar. We're always adding, which is great, thanks to the fans. And they can find everything there. As a matter of fact, I also DJ too. I'll be DJing this Saturday at Fullerton at the Totally 80s Bar, and kind of doing a Depeche Mode Spirit album release. I got some great remixes that I would like to, not just play the classics, but also get to hear some good stuff, some really cool modern remix that I just got a hold of and share with the fans.
And you're going to be here in Santa Barbara April 1st.
Yes, which is a great, great month to be there. And it's nice. It's the hometown of Martin L. Gore. Mm.
No, it's Robert. Maybe you should find where he is and actually try to get Gore on the show.
Yeah, Santa Barbara's going to be beautiful, and we're going to be playing at this beautiful theater, Lobito Theater.
Is it Libero? I forget.
Libero, yes. Libero. The Libero Theater. And we'll be there Saturday, April 1st.
Is your tour, is this a cross-country tour or focused on Southern California?
It's pretty cross-country tour. I mean, we don't play too much in Southern California due to the fact because we are from here. So we like to spread out and not kind of... Now, when we play here, we like to give the fans a special show. We play songs that, we're not playing at the other states. But, like right now, Texas has been... It's a big state. We've been going back and forth to Dallas, Austin. We're now going back to San Antonio. And we'll be going up to, I haven't even seen the schedule. But, yeah, we're all over the states. We'll be going to New York, hopefully, by the end of summer. And that's probably the farthest we've gone is Santiago, Chile, which we're still waiting for a return date on that. And that was amazing.
Depeche Mode's pretty popular on a global basis.
Yes, Very, very, especially now that they've announced their Latin American tour. I mean, they're going to Mexico. They'll be going to Santiago, Chile. And yeah, they're very excited out there to be going to because they haven't been to Latin America since 2006. After that, it's been a long time. So
I just pre-ordered my tickets to go see Depeche Mode on the Saturday, and they're also playing on the September 11th in New York City. But for some time since the Exciter period, they once went to Philadelphia, but they haven't been in Philadelphia for like 17 years. And since then, you got to go to New York City, and that's, you know, buying these tickets advance until September. I mean, I was thinking of going to the September 11th show. I don't know what kind of patriotic thing they'll talk about, but I'm going on a Saturday night. It's interesting, though, because it's Madison Square Garden, and it's packed twice. And I just think how crazy that is in the New York area. Well,
it's also, you know, like, you know, Dave's hometown. So they've had some interviews, and he says, like, yeah, it's great to sell out in your hometown where you live. You know, so it's amazing. I mean, this is a long tour for them. They're starting in May, then they'll start the North American tour, and then they'll go back to the UK, and then Latin America again. So it's like, and then Latin America, and then who knows from there. So we're looking at a two year concert. I mean, a tour here.
What are your favorite Depeche Mode albums?
You know, a lot of people ask me, and it's very hard, but the one that I kind of just popped in my head was the Music for the Masses and Songs of Faith and Devotion. Mm. Those two were very, because I was just a keyboard synth producer freak with my friends. We were lock ourselves in studios instead of chasing girls. We would just go into our studios and just learn and listen to these records over and over and try to figure out how we can do that, because we had the samplers in front of us. So I spent a lot of time in the studio, and those records to me mean a lot as far as a producer.
I'm the same way too. I think Songs of, that was my, you know, on my time too. I think Songs of Faith and Devotion is my favorite album too. And it's often cited, you know, Violator because of Personal Jesus. And yet,
Yeah, Violator is a great album. I mean, that's one there in the threes right there. But I think with song, because they used, think about it, in the 90s, it was a whole hip-hop. So Depeche Mode was hip-hop. They gave us a hip-hop rock album. Huh. I mean, if you listen to it now that I've sang these songs, man, singing these songs live, also, like, I've corrected myself in lyrics. I've heard things I've never heard when I was hearing the record, now that I perform these songs. So it's like, wow, you know, the loops that they use. I mean, Alan Wilder was just an amazing producer. I mean, he's surely missed, you know, but those two records, I mean, wow, different sound.
Do you like their really early stuff, like their Speak and Spell?
Oh yeah, I mean, I grew up, I mean, I'm 45. My first records, I remember my friend invited me to his house, and I was still, I mean, I had a small record collection. He had a huge record collection, and he invited me to his house, and he played me Get the Balance Right, the long remix, and then he showed me Speak and Spell records, and I was like, oh my god, I was just blown away. I wanted my first synth right there. Yeah, those records reached out to me a lot.
What other bands were major influences on you growing up?
Duran Duran.
Oh yeah, I see the poster in the background.
Yeah, there you go.
It's framed.
Duran Duran is my other band that's been. I first became a Duran Duran fan. Then I heard People Are People. Then I discovered Depeche Mode. That's how that was. But throughout my whole life, it was Duran Duran and Depeche Mode, those two bands.
Have you done any Duran Duran tributes?
I did one when I was a very young kid. But it was a lip sync. It was a lip sync band. That's what I'm saying. I was just so crazy when I was young. I had these ideas, and I would gather my friends, my cool friends, and they were like, "Oh, you're crazy now. All right, how about you? Yeah, we'll join you for any. I don't know what you're gonna do, but we'll do it. Okay, you're gonna dress up like John Taylor, and of course that was Simon, and we did that. ever since I, but I haven't sang Duran Duran songs. I don't know. It's very high pitched. Simon's got a very, you know, different. I mean, baritone for me worked out for me per day, but I think Simon is a special voice. I mean, I've heard other tribute bands, and they even have a hard time. Even the best ones have a hard time hitting that Simon Levant pitch, and but it's fun, you know.
What do you think about the new Spirit album, and do you have any favorite songs out of that?
Oh, wow. I hated it at first.
What?
I didn't like it.
I was, you know what's funny? When Delta Machine came out, I hated it, and I scassed it. But when I gave Spirit a chance, it was the opposite. I really liked it since last week.
You know what? Delta Machine, and I like Delta Machine because at that year, my father was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And that album helped me. That album came out. Sorry, we're in L.A. and we have sirens over here. That album carried me through till my dad passed in 2013 in December. So that album, I mean, there's beautiful songs. It's a totally different album from Spirit. It's a totally different producer, and I don't know.
It was from the Ben trilogy, from Playing, Sounds, and Delta. It was his last one before James Ford took over recently, you know,
yes.
Of this. And yeah, it's weird because I was a little disappointed when Sounds came out, as I thought it would be continuing playing, but it was like Exciter Part 2 in some respect. I do like In Sympathy and Perfect. Those are like my two favorite songs on Sounds, but I don't know, something when I was into that and I gave Sounds a chance. Maybe also I really didn't like the video for A Hold a Field, as that was A Hold a Feed. That was directed by Eric Wareheim of the comedy duo Tim and Eric. And I was like,
right.
That's so not Depeche Mode.
Right. You know what? That's what I'm saying. And I mean, I have my girlfriend. She's T. She's a – that's how we met. We met on the Depeche Mode convention. It's a long story, but it's Depeche Mode love there. But I told her, I'm sorry. I just can't get into it. It took me 3 days. And she's like, what? We were just – kind of just battling out, you know, and she's such a faithful, you know, and I go, hon, you don't understand. I've been a Depeche Mode fan since the 80s. I was there at the Rose Bowl. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, you don't understand. I've traveled with Depeche Mode. This journey is just, I'm very just like, I wanted them to get back into, look, Depeche Mode has evolved. And if they could have stayed with like the It's No Good sound, great. They're into the rock, but still stay into the synth bass, they're missing so much. Now it's more, it's not even playing anymore. It's just sounds coming out of subs and stuff.
I had a Depeche Mode fan discussion with other DM fans in my area, and we were talking about these last albums. I think during Sounds of the Universe, they had this philosophy or marketing campaign where it's like, you see, they're the Sounds of the Universe. They're coming from modular synthesizers. It was more this pretentious ideal of their electronic band. It was cutting edge and kind of like where Exciter came from. It was like just technical in sound, but it wasn't Depeche Mode. And I think they kind of threw that away a bit, and Delta Machine and Spirit kind of try to resurrect at least. I think Spirit is trying to do playing, or at least maybe some of the rock-oriented again, you know. I think a lot of songs on Spirit sound like openings for HBO shows, you know, which I think is pretty which is pretty cool, I think.
You know, like what? Yeah, it's like let's say I love – okay, now – so I've listened to the album, and – now it's growing. See, that's what's weird about Depeche Mode. You can hate the album. You're like, oh, and then you're later on, you're like, oh, shoot, I'm liking this. It just grabs you. Like right now, I have three songs right now. So In Love. That one is just amazing.
Yeah, So Much Love is a good one.
So Much Love, yeah. And now watching them perform it, there's power on that. And it's just, the lyrics are awesome too. Cover Me. That reminds me of Violator, Clean. The drums, think about it.
I like to Cover Me at the last 2 minutes with the synth kind of. I love those interludes. They seem to be missing interludes on.
Right, it's like they gave us the rock, but then we're gonna give you a little bit of this. Mm-hmm. And I was like, could have given me more of the tail end of that and put it in the front.
Yeah, like on Ultra, they had like tracks like Uselink, Jazz Thieves. You know,
I love. I like, love playing those when I DJ and people are like, whoa, and yeah. It's like intro to my set. You know,
they missed out on Spirit. It seemed like clean suck songs that just stopped and the next one, right? It didn't like cover.
Yeah,
me, at least add that.
Didn't the Violator thing. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you know, now we're critiquing them, but let's go. We're all here and we're all Depeche fans. The song selection, the album should have been So Much Love first, then Down. I mean, I don't know why they wanted to start with Backwards first as the opening.
I said the same thing about Exciter. I said the only problem with Exciter is they had a terrible track listing. Maybe Dead of Night should have came first. Maybe Put have got rid of Dream On and just made the album shorter.
Kessler's talking to the wrong guys, man. You have the right idea. Starting with, I mean, that song, just it's like an for those people who are into albums. I'm still into albums. I like to listen from track 1 to 9, 10, or whatever, how many tracks.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
So. Right. So if they were to add and think about us and say, okay, let's put this track listing of this, let's start the album with this. And then, but I don't know. Now it's different. It's so different now. This album was like Rush too. This is like Depeche Mode's fastest recording. And it showed.
Have you ever performed a Rush live?
Oh, you know, I love what? Rush. Yes.
By the way, that one is a gem, and I already have it. We have its direction now. It's just a matter of rehearsing it, and we're going to be rehearsing it with Christopher Elias, who is the drummer of Berlin. And I can't wait, because that one is just that's what Strange is about. We play the songs that Depeche Mode don't play anymore, and we keep them the way they were because they've changed a lot. You know, they've evolved, and I like that about Depeche Mode. It's like, if you saw the last two shows in Paris, Walking in My Shoes has a part from a remix, which they do. They grab little intros from remixes, and then they add them into, you know, to make them modernized, to make them fresh. And it sounds pretty cool. So, you know.
No, I love Rush. That's. I wish they would do that song again, you know.
Right? God, that song is like... And the only time I experienced that song live twice, and that was at the Forum when they were playing. That was amazing, guys.
They did the opener. I wish they'd just open up the Spirit Tour just with Rush, you know, to be exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
But on the Spirit album, when I first listened to it, I got it on LP a week ago when it came out. My first impression was I liked You Move, but I liked the very last track, Fail. Because there's always at least two Gore songs on every Depeche Mode album. And it becomes kind of tradition. So the very last track, I'm like, oh, finally, Martin Gore singing, you know, after all the Gahansby. And the other track, Internal, just seemed to be like it was really quick and didn't feel satisfying. It felt like...
sorry to cut you off, but You Move sounds like the new track for the Exotic Dancers. Oh, yeah. I can totally... You know, it's like this track's really fitting with the Exotic Dancers. They would just this fits in. It's like, listen to it, you know.
Yeah, it's a very bouncy kind of synth, and I think that's why I like You Move, because it was a dance track, and I just feel like the other tracks, you know, you go from Worst Crime and Cover Me, it sounds like it could be, you know, Dave's solo stuff on the with the Soul Stealers.
You know what? I'm glad you picked that, because that's the first thing. And I remember I was talking, conversating with someone else the day I heard this album. And that's one thing I said. I was like, oh man, it feels like Dave's bringing his Soul Savers into Depeche. And now it's like, you know, half of the record sounds like Soul Savers, Dave. And then it sounds like Martin Gore today. It's like,
it's
it sounds like
Gore on the last track, and Internal's just like some filler, you know? I feel like Fail was really the brighting of the track and made me want to listen to the album over again, you know?
You know what's funny? Fail is a great, because it sounds completed. That song sounds completed. I hope he plays it live.
They will.
That'll be interesting. I hope, because that is an awesome, beautiful song. I mean, I don't know. This album was, you know, like you said, they're both fighting now for writing credits, like, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that.
I feel like now it's just two members. It's only Dave and Martin, and then Andy is just in the background, it seems like.
Yeah, he's just, I don't know, Andy, you know, he doesn't do much either. Maybe it's weird.
How do you feel about when, like, Alan left the band? I still think that's an internal, like, after Alan left, that seems to be the biggest blow of Depeche Mode.
That's a continuous bleed. You know, that you can bandage it up and you're like, oh, it still hurts. Alan's gone. And it hurts. You hear it in these albums. I mean, let's be honest. You know, I'm a big Depeche Mode fan. I wouldn't do this if I wasn't a fan, singing my band's favorite music. So, of course, I'm going to, you know, sink into, because I sing these songs. I feel them. I breathe them. I experience it. So, yeah, now it's a totally different. I'm in the different level. But Alan, I met Alan when he came to here in Hollywood. He did his Recoil, and that was amazing to meet him. I got to talk to him, and I told him, you know what, thanks to you, I was synth. I pay attention to my bass lines, and you've been the master of my you've been like my teacher of being in the studio. He was like, oh, that's great. And great, awesome, humble guy. And I told him, I said, we miss you in Depeche. Yeah, I know you get here, but you're going to hear from me. You know, it's like, you're missed. He appreciates it. Then we established our relationship, and we ended up getting samples before anybody else of the Violator tour and Devotional. So we got the sound banks of that. A lot of people don't know that before. Now everybody has them because they're out in, you know, internet world. But when we got them, they were all floppy still as the emulators, which was awesome. So we had to, you know, hire someone to extract that and put them in our new sound backs with today's technology. See, and that's cool because we ended up getting something from Alan. And being fans, now we were using those instruments that he handed to us. And because we're fans, he saw that like we were fans, not just, you know, it's like, here you go. You know, he auctioned off a lot of things a few years ago. So, yeah, I mean, it's this band. I mean, we're all just crazy fans who, you know, it's like, you know, for us, instead of going out and buying a classic car stripped down and spending our money putting it together, we're doing this. You know, it's like, you know, we're always investing back into the band, making, recreating stage, which is amazing. You know, we love doing all that stuff. And that's why I think the fans have seen, when they see our show, they're like, wow, man, you really took me back to like the 80s when I met my wife. And it's awesome to hear those stories. And then they bring their kids and then they get to experience something that their parents did back 30 years ago, you know, 25 years ago, you know. So it's a responsibility when you reach a certain level of success when it comes to the tribute bands. And I think like a lot of people don't understand what tribute bands are about. They think, oh, we're just going to go out there and put our leathers and sing songs that are not ours and make some money here. No, there's some really good ones who really are passionate. I mean, George Michael just passed. We just did an amazing show out in Dallas with a friend of ours who's going to be coming out. His name is Jaden. And he did an amazing George Michael tribute with a full band, four choirs and one playing guitar, band, saxophone. I mean, I did the visuals for him. So it's nice when I see someone who's pouring out their heart and they want to be passionate. You know, I'm there. I'm there to help. We're all there to support because we see something good and it deserves to be well represented, you know.
So. With your fan base, you'd say it's pretty much a mix of original Depeche Mode fans from the 80s, but are there also a lot of younger people coming in?
A lot of younger people coming in who hear. I mean, I see, you know, when I'm looking out in the front row, I see kids, you know, 10 years old, when it's a, you know, an all-ages show, out in the front with their parents. It's crazy. And then I see new generation, 20, 25. You know, who heard about us, who are into the 80s, and now they're like, oh, you know, I never saw Depeche Mode, my parents, and you know, to see you, it's like, wow, I see the pictures, and I see the YouTubes, and now I'm going to go see them live, and it's great. So they get to see something, you know, from, like, being recreated, and then now they're going to see the real DM to what Depeche Mode is today, which is, I mean, it's exciting.
And also, your band looks like Depeche Mode too in the pictures.
Oh yeah, we have to. That's the number one thing. We the image, and that's what a tribute is. A tribute is not just the music, but everything. The image, every detail. I mean, and Depeche Mode had so many different images. I mean, from the 80s to 90s to present time. And that's kind of like what I do on stage. You know, I wear the white pants with the leather, and then in the middle of the set, I might bring a, you know, kind of like the ultra look. And then towards the end, I wear slacks with kind of like, you know, the vest, you know, and what he looks today. So you get three shows in one. You get 3 days in one show.
I noticed too that, you know, because Dave has tattoos. Do you have exactly? Do you have fake or the real tattoos as Dave?
No, these are. See, I'll show you. These are. This was my first one, and this one I first a year and a half ago, back in 2011, I got it. So this was my reward to myself, saying, "Okay, pass the test." Then I ended up getting this one. They're similar to Dave's, but I kind of did something different. See, this one, he has it down here, but I kind of just wanted to put it here.
Because then you're emulating Dave at that point, and you become living.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to, these are like kind of my rewards to myself, being a Depeche Mode fan. And then I ended up getting this one, which is the Ohm, and that's pretty much what I have now. So, but, you know, I tried the fake ones, and yeah, with the sweat, it was just like, what is that? Yeah. It didn't work out in makeup. I mean, I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to have to go with real ink. It's worked out better, so.
You know, my top five favorite Depeche Mode albums ever, number two, oddly enough, is Ultra. I really like Ultra, even though Alan is not in the band. There's something about Ultra I really like, and I think really... The whole, I guess, quote-unquote Depeche Mode downfall, I guess, really begins with Exciter. But have you guys ever considered covering songs from Exciter and everything after?
You know, we do cover a lot. Ultra, like I said, I love Ultra. Ultra,
yeah, exactly.
And I was there at the Shrine Auditorium when they only did two shows. They did one in Europe, and then they did one in L.A. That was it. And
yeah, I remember Ultra parties.
The Ultra parties. And I heard Barrel of a Gun, and It's No Good, and Useless, and then Use Link with the intro. I was just like, wow, Depeche Mode is... It was weird to see them not with Alan, but just to hear, you know, this album. It was a beautiful album.
That's why I say it's oddly enough my second favorite album, even though Alan's not in there, because it seemed like the last Depeche Mode authentically I would ever hear. Yeah. That Depeche Mode was in a stage of, you know... post drug, it was like they're damaged, and it could have been their last album, you know.
And the producer still, the producer was so influenced from Flood too, remember? I forgot his name, but he was really good DJ too, and so he knew the hip-hop, you know, knowing hip-hop with electronics, what was going on at that in that era, that time, I mean, really worked out for Depeche Mode, because like you said, it was just the end of Depeche Mode. Exciter, I guess the only one we would do.
Yeah, it's a hard one.
That's very acoustic. I mean, I can just break out and tell Counter for Martin, hey, Counter, listen
through. When the body speaks, you know, I don't know.
You know, When This Body Speaks. I mean, they're beautiful songs, but I went to that tour, and it was, you know, it was like, okay, they started with, you know, like I said, it's just, yeah, it was just
different. Weird because when I ask all my friends, they say Exciter is the worst Depeche Mode album ever. And, you know, it's really hard. At first, when I listened to it, I was like, yeah, this is not Depeche Mode. This is basically Jork, Massive Attack, or Radiohead trying to make an album together in the same room. And I think that's what happened with Playing the Angel, was just a complete reaction towards Exciter. Instead of being cutting edge and electronic and modern, they just made... Playing the Angel was the first Depeche Mode revival album, and it did crazy amount of success, double the amount of what Ultra and Exciter sold together.
Exactly. I mean, and to this point, I mean, like I said, and you know what? Doing Depeche Mode sets for 2 hours, we include those albums. We've never included anything from Exciter or Sounds of the Universe. It's Delta, yes. We've included. I mean, there's tracks we can do, and there's still tracks that I still want to do that I've never, like Depeche Mode, never got to perform.
Do you try to sample every album into a concert, or some concerts focus on like one particular album?
You know, we try to have a pieces from each album. Like, you know, Playing the Angels, there's several there that we have ready to fire up just in case for encores, and we like to throw it in, surprise the audience. It's just kind of just varies. It varies. But like for this album, there's probably 3 songs that we can add now, because we have. I mean, we've been playing Words of Revolution, but we haven't been playing the original album version. We did. It's funny, in this community, we meet so many great producers that they send us their tracks, and they're like, "Hey, why don't you produce? You know, play my track," and we listen to it, and I'm like, "Wow, that's pretty cool." So right now, we're performing Where's the Revolution? It's called the Alan Walder Mist Remix. and it sounds much better because it's got the 80s sound with the bass more, and it just sounds fuller, you know, to us. And we played it and people trip out and they're like, "Whoa." And they're like, and they like it. We read the comments, they're like, "Wow, I like that version you guys played. That's cool." And that's cool because we don't want to playing something that Depeche Mode, and like we respect their work. We don't want to play like it's just unbelievable how the internet works, which kind of just blew me away. That first day when they released Where's the Revolution, within a matter of minutes, there was someone already covering it, already singing it live. And I'm like, dude, really? Can you just wait a week? And then everybody, where's the respect? Let enjoy the artist first. Then you see the tribute. It's like, whoa, it just blew me away. So I told the boys, I'm not playing the song until a month and a half. And we did that. And we did the song. That's not even, you know, we did something different. You know, I mean, that's the way my mind works when it comes to showcasing tracks.
You know, I'm thinking of versions. I've never, you know, I love both versions of In Your Room, the album cut and the rock radio version. I can never make up my mind which version I like more. I both equally like, and I wish they could perform both versions live. You know, right. I don't think they've ever played the rock version live, you know. That seems to be more of like talk show stuff, but they've always played the original version. But yeah, that's interesting you're talking about different versions. I feel that a lot of tracks on Exciter could have had, like the Flood mix of Free Love sounded much better than the album cut. The album cut sounded way too experimental.
Free Love is beautiful. I love the lyrics and all that, but like I said, I've enjoyed different remixes of that song.
Yeah, the Flood mix is much more, was the single. It wasn't the album cut, and the Flood mix sounded like that should have been on the album instead.
Yeah, I don't know why they do that. You know, it's funny, and it's like you and I picked that up, and it's like, what is going on with these meetings when they choose these records? You know, it's like, Kessler, what the hell? You know, it's like, you know, I met Kessler, their Depeche Mode manager, and he's a special guy, and
you know, it's weird too. I always found it strange that ever since Exciter, they've been really recycling older lyrics, right? And like reusing them in songs. I always had something against I Feel Loved because it sounds like a dance version of I Feel You. You know? It
was I feel loved.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know what? So we performed that one, and yeah, I always get confused. It's like, I feel you. Oh, no, it's not.
Exactly.
What should all we doing?
You know, You Move on Spirit is like, wait, on there was a song In Chains, you know, the way you move. Yeah, and it's like, wait, you're saying You Move again, but this time it totally has nothing to do with it. Yeah, it feels like ever since Exciter, they've been recycling lyrics or using like single words and saying that, like, there's a song like there's Free State on Ultra, but there's a B-side on Playing the Angel called Free, you know?
And right. It's
hard.
You know, and if you go back to like Delta Machine, you're like, oh, okay, that one.
Welcome to My World. It's totally not, you know, the big one on Violator. It's the first track as well.
Right. I don't. You know, it's. I mean, the guys are in their, you know, they're in their 50s. They're like, it's tough. I think it's. You know, a lot of you know, after the release of this album, reading the comments of the fans, and yeah, I mean, we miss what Depeche Mode was. You know, it's like, you know, a lot of comments about Alan Wilder and him being in this album. I mean, I've talked to people around the world, and a lot of them die hard were very disappointed. But then, like you said, you see them perform again, you're like, all right, well, you know, cool, thank you. You know, they're back. They're just going to enjoy the music and, you know, and hopes.
I think I like Spirit a lot because I do feel some at least more rock oriented vibes, like from Songs of Faith and Devotion. I do feel that rock, and that's why it gave me nostalgic compared to Delta Machine, you know?
Yeah, it's much more, like I said, when you hear these songs live, they were made to be performed live as a rock band. You know, it is. I mean, me performing, I can tell the difference. I'm like, okay, now I've studied Dave and seen him. He's past two shows. He's fit. He's enjoying these songs. It's like the way he moves on stage, and the guys are, you know, it's the warm up shows before this huge concert that they're tour that are going to be embarking. So it's exciting to see them. And we're hardcore critiques, but you know what? I love Depeche Mode, and I respect their work. And I've met Martin Gore, and you know, I mean, to be in a band. And then to get to meet them and then have them know that what you're doing. I mean, it's crazy. I've never been in a tribute band where we've received so much love, not just from the fans, but also from the band. I mean, there have been some critiques about, oh, Depeche Mode, they don't like tribute bands and things were misinterpreted and that's not what they meant, you know. And I'm glad Martin Gore watches tribute bands on YouTube and he's, you know, he might think it's weird, which is cool because it is weird. But there's some really good ones out there that are doing a really good job in respect of what they do, you know. And that's all we do. Us tribute bands, we're passionate about, we're using our talent, you know, guitar, voice, whatever, you know, and recreating something for the fan to go and re-experience something that happened 30 years ago, 20 years ago, you know. And, I mean, that's what I've learned in this scene. And, it's just great, you know, you guys reaching out and finding out about Strange Love. I mean, it's cool that people are interested in what we do.
We are getting close to the end of the show. Do you want to plug your upcoming tours? This is, as you said, is an ongoing tour. What are the next major cities that you're going to be performing in next?
Let me get that now. We'll be, like I said, if you'd like to... find out our entire itinerary till, I think we have it till August, DepecheTribute.com, and very easy website. And our shows we've got coming up. March 31st, we'll be at San Diego at the Music Box. It's just us. It's a two-hour show out on San Diego, Music Box. And April 1st, we'll be out at Santa Barbara, Lobero Theater, and tickets are still available for that. And April 7th, we'll be at the RCC in Stanford, Texas. That's April 7th. April 8th, we'll be at Fitzgerald Bar and Live Music in San Antonio, Texas. And then in May, we'll be in Cleveland, Ohio at the House of Blues. Very first time we'll be there. So for all you Cleveland Depeche Mode fans. And on the 13th, we'll be in Chicago, May 13th, at a venue called Wire. So there you have it. Oh, Mexico, we'll be at Mexicali, will be May 19th. And in Hotville, May 20th. Like I said, we have. And our biggest show here in Southern California will be at Costa Mesa, the Pacific Amphitheater with Oingo Boingo Tribute Band.
I did see Oingo Boingo Tribute Band. It must have been the same one. And Elfman from Oingo Boingo was actually in the audience.
Oh, wow. Yeah, they're, let's see, Dead Man's Party.
Yeah, that was the one.
Yeah, we're co-headlining that show, and that's going to be on July 22nd, all ages, and Ticketmaster, and that's going to be a great, great show, because that's like 10,000 people there. And it's amazing to be there, and I've actually seen Duran Duran there several times, and to be playing on that stage is crazy. It's like Simon's been on the stage.
I'm thinking of something funny. Do you remember that really old 80s movie called Weird Science?
I think. Yes, of course.
Now, I think both Depeche Mode and Oingo Boingo were in that soundtrack. Depeche Mode had The Meaning of Love, And Oingo Boingo had Weird Science.
Yeah.
And both videos camouflaged it. So that's perfect if you wanted to bring up a Weird Science theme at the show.
Exactly, yeah. Those are great films and great 80s tracks. But, well, I appreciate you guys, and thank you so much for taking the time to reach out and touch Devotional Dave. Not touch, but you know. And I hope you guys be there in Santa Barbara, right?
Yeah, I'll be there in Santa Barbara.
Okay, great. And we'll meet and see you there, Santa Barbara.